Good morning to Central Baptist Church family and friends. Everybody give me a wave. Good to see everybody this morning on this holiday weekend, Memorial Day. We're glad that you are here to worship with us at Central Baptist. Let me go ahead and begin in a word of prayer as we begin our service today. Father, we're thankful indeed for the day that you've given us. Lord, we feel the sunshine and we're grateful for the opportunity to be able to gather together. Lord, help us as we do so. Keep us safe. Keep us healthy. Lord, keep us wise as we go through this time. Help us, Father, today as we open your word and gather around. We pray that you will just move in our hearts, move our spirits. And Lord, what a blessing it is just to be able to have the opportunity to come together. So Lord, bless our time is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A very special thank you to Lori for providing our music today. As we gather today, we do so remembering. Today is, well, actually it's tomorrow's Memorial Day, but it is Memorial Day weekend. And it's a time that we pause, a time that we come to remember those who gave and paid the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that you and I enjoy today. I know that for a lot of people, Memorial Day takes on various and sundries meanings. I know there are times when folks get together, although that may be a challenge this year. It's also a time for those to remember the ones who gave the ultimate sacrifice that we might have the opportunities and the freedoms that we have today. I think about that as we're gathered out here. I think about how a lot of those freedoms have been challenged. I want folks to know this is not a political statement, but yet it's one of those situations that has helped us to realize how much things can change in one day. You know, we come together with freedom to worship our Lord and Savior, but some of us have gone through what folks in other countries go through on a daily basis, and we've just seen a small amount of it. We've had the opportunities to enjoy the freedoms for so many years, but those freedoms have been bought with a price. You know, one of the things that I'm very, very proud of is the fact that we always pause to remember those in our armed forces, particularly those who paid that price. I encourage and challenge each and every one of us to take the time today, tomorrow, actually every day, but specifically today or tomorrow, teach your children, teach your grandchildren that we enjoy freedoms that that didn't come for free. They came with a price. I know there are memorials. Take that time to visit a memorial. Take that time to pray for those whose lives were forever changed because they had somebody who served our country that paid the ultimate price. Yeah, I think about that as I stand here today, and that's what we're going to talk about in the Lord's Word. We're going to talk about some symbolism today. We're going to talk about the things that God has told us in regard to memorials. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, as you find that, I'm reminded of this flag that I hold up here today that's very, very special to me. And the reason that this flag is very special to me is because it comes from it was a gift from a friend of mine who served seven tours in Afghanistan and the surrounding areas over there. And each of the places that he went, he flew this flag over a United States military institution as a United States Marine. And he gave that as a gift to me. It's something very, very special. It is something that I hold very near and dear to my heart as a symbol of the freedoms that we have. Today, we're standing out here on the lawn to protect the health of others, but we have the freedom to do that because somebody paid the price for you and I. Another symbol that we see that we think of often is the cross. The cross is a reminder of the price that was paid for our salvation. The cross reminds us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, and how Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, gave his life and picked it back up that you and I might have eternal life together. As we come together and we look at some passages in Joshua chapter 4, the background of this particular passage is after Israel had exited Egypt, they had found themselves on the border at Kadesh Barnea, about to enter into the promised land, and they were disobedient. They didn't listen to what it was that God had told them. When God said, go in and take that land, they began to have fears about that. They began to talk about how there were giants in the land. And we know the story of the 12 spies and 10 that came back and said, we can't do it. And 2 that came back that said, we're well able to do it. But yet they didn't go. God said, it's time for a little bit of attention getter. It is time for some punishment, as it were. So he sentenced them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the disobedient generation had died out. And when we get to this particular passage in the scripture, Joshua is about ready to lead Israel into the promised land. And the Lord gave some specific instructions and some specific directions. He was going to allow them to pass over the swollen river, much like it was at the Red Sea. He was going to stop it up. He was going to allow them to cross over. And as the word says, once again, on dry ground. That's a key point. But he also gave them some orders of some things to do on their passage, on their way through the river. Look with me, if you would, at Joshua chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Joshua chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from out of here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 6, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and those stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather around it. Lord, we know that where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. Father, today I pray that you will truly help us to think about the memorial stones, the flags of spiritual success that have taken place in our lives over the years. Lord, may we remember where those things come from, and Lord, may we honor and glorify you this day. Lord, may we truly remember the sacrifice on Calvary's cross that makes salvation possible for each and every one of us. So Lord, we pray that during this time, you and you alone truly would be exalted, as we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we think about these particular passages, and we look at the fact that the Lord was telling them as they crossed the river to pick those stones up and to carry them across the Jordan, and then to take the opportunity to set them up, that there might be something that would be looked upon by generations to come. Folks, I think about what's going to happen with our next generation. I think about how important it is that you and I share the gospel message. You know what? We wouldn't have come to Christ unless somebody had shown us the way, unless somebody had told us. You know, I feel like as we look at statistics and whatnot today, it says that the church is decreasing in number. And I'm not talking about the buildings. I'm talking about the people. As we have seen, particularly over the last several months, the church is not about a building. The church is about a people of Christ. Now, without us being able to be on a mission for the Lord, without us sharing Jesus with others, others will not come to know him. Others will not understand. And the question that I have today is, are we putting up memorial stones along the way? When we think about this passage and what God had said to them, he said, take those stones and go over to the other side, to the land which I'm going to give you, and I want you to build it so that when your children come up and they look and they see that structure, they'll realize that wasn't anything that was natural. That was something that was man-made. And they'll know that there was something different about it. And when they do, they will look at those stones and they will say, Mama or Daddy, tell me, what is that? What is that all about? And you notice the word says that it might be a remembrance for them to share with their children what God had done in their life, to share with their children and their grandchildren how God had delivered them. And folks, that is our walking orders today for you and I as we go out. We must share with our children. We must share with our grandchildren, because how will they know unless they hear? And how will they hear unless somebody tell them and unless somebody show them? See, those were stones to remember the great miracles of God. As each and every one of us can sit here today, the Holy Spirit has brought up things in our hearts and in our lives that has shown how he has arrived, and he has arrived in a big way. I guarantee you that if I went through this crowd and we had the opportunity to share in those testimonies, you would have things that you could tell us. You would have things to be able to say, listen, if it wasn't for God and how He intervened in this situation, I wouldn't be here. Some of those are even life or death situations. Some of those have to deal with jobs and career. Some of those have to deal with family. But by the grace of God and by His hand, He has delivered you. And you can look back, and I've always called it running those spiritual markers up the flagpole, so that when we get in the midst of trying and tough times, that we will be able to look back and see what it is that God has done in our lives. And we'll be able to say, look, God showed up here. Look what God did there. Look what God did, how He delivered us. Look how He took care of the situation when I didn't have a job. Look how He took care of the situation financially in my family. Look how He took care of the health situation with my child or my mom or my dad. And God was victorious. We need to remember those things, that it gives us strength as we go forward in our journey for Him. Today and tomorrow, we mark Memorial Day, the time when we think back and remember the freedoms that we enjoy. And folks, I'll be honest with you, sometimes we take those things for granted. We all have either had a child or been that child that has taken some things for granted. Maybe if you're here today as a parent, there are times in your life when you said, you know what, I just wish my child would be grateful for what they have, you know, instead of complain about it. I can still remember how it was when I was growing up. There were some times that when the food was put on the dinner table, I was like, yeah, I don't want that. You know, Brussels sprouts, don't like those things. And of course, you know, in my house, that's what it was. That was what was there. If you didn't like it, you waited until the next time you ate to see what was going to be there. Wasn't no special this, special that, or special the other thing. Remember last week, we were talking about Israel and how they thought the manna was the greatest thing that God had provided for them because they thought they were going to starve to death. Well, that manna was the greatest thing ever. And then just a little while later on, they were complaining about the manna. And folks, we can tend to do that as well. We need to stop and be grateful and remember God's provision within our lives. We need to remember every single day how God has taken care of each and every one of us. You know, we've had those times over the past couple of months during this pandemic when we have seen that we have been without. We've known what it's like to stand in line at a grocery store. We've known what it's like to go after items to purchase that weren't there. We know what that's like when we've looked and said, I can't believe we're having a toilet paper shortage. What is up with all these people? That still continues to this day. And then you remember back to when you could walk in there and buy you a pack of toilet paper, as many as you want in all those times. That's just one example of the many things that we need to be grateful for. I believe with all my heart, as I've been saying, that God is truly teaching us a lesson, that God is bringing us back to dependence upon Him, that God is truly saying, now I want you to pray, give us this day our daily bread, not this week, not this month, but God wants to look after us one day at a time, one step at a time, and He is asking us to trust Him. And sometimes that is a complicated thing for us to do when we have been so spoiled. And yes, I did use that term. We are truly a spoiled generation as we go forward. When we think about memorials, when we think about memories, the Lord gave us many, many things in His Word to speak to memorials. When we have that time to be able to gather around the Lord's table, when we have that time to be able to have communion together, that is a memorial. How many times have you heard me say at the end of that of a communion service what the Bible said in Corinthians when it says, for as oft as ye eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you do show the Lord's death until He comes. He gave that so that we might remember, that we wouldn't get so accustomed to things that we forget completely about what it is that God has done for us. You see, folks, we need to revisit Calvary, and we need to revisit Calvary very often. I know that there are times when we see the cross, and some people merely use that as jewelry, but I ask you today, when you see this cross, what does it mean to you? When you see this cross, does it remind you of the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Does it remind you that He laid down His life, the perfect sacrifice that you and I might have
eternal life? Does it remind us that we are His children and that He takes care of us just as if we would take care of our own children, and in fact, even better than we could take care of our own children? And in thinking about that, we must realize that because of that, God knows what's best. God knows what is right. God knows what we need. So what does that mean for you and I? That means that we should be able to relax in His love. One of the things that, particularly over the past several months in the midst of this pandemic, that we've been saying is, listen, don't be afraid. There's a difference between being cautious and being fearful. God said, don't be fearful. He says, because I am with you always, even until the end of the earth. He is here with us. He is in the middle of the circumstance, in the middle of the situation. None of it has caught anybody by surprise, especially God. So we need to trust Him. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not to be cautious. Many times I've thought about the fact that during the time of the Passover, when He gave specific instructions and He told His children to sacrifice the lamb and to paint the doorpost, and He said, you go into your house and you stay there as that death angel passes. And the death angel will pass when he sees the blood of the lamb over the doorpost. You know, there was times that the Lord said, it's time for you to kind of quarantine yourself there as well. So I urge us to remember. I urge us to think about what lessons it is that God is teaching us today. I am urging us to remember the memorial stones of Joshua chapter 4, to remember the things that God has done in our hearts and God has done in our lives. Stones to remember those who gave their lives for our freedoms. Stones for those of us to remember great miracles that God has done in our midst, and the great miracles that we've heard that God has done in the hearts and lives of people around us and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And stones, in this case, to remember the crossing of the Jordan safely. And that was one of the things that God wanted them to know. I have been with you. We are crossing the Jordan. I am going to get you through, and I am going to get you through safely. And it was even more than they could have ever imagined. Much like the Red Sea crossing, it was that circumstance and situation where they went through on dry ground. They didn't even have to get their feet muddy. God took care of every little detail. God took care of every little provision. And God is still taking care of every detail. He is still taking care of every provision in your life and in my life. Now, I want us to pause for just a moment to simply think about it in this regard. The Word tells us, and so often we take this for granted, but the Word tells us that God knows us even better than we know us. And sometimes we go, yeah, right, okay, whatever. But it says, the Word tells us that God knows the number of hairs on your head. For some of you, He doesn't have to count as high on that. For others, He has to count pretty high, particularly me at this point. But He knows how many hairs were on my head before I washed a bunch of them down the drain this morning in the shower. He knew exactly how many hairs was on my head when I got out. He knew how many have fallen out since then. That's how much God knows about me. He knows even more about me than I know about me. He knows my heart. He knows my desires. He knows my hurts. He knows my pains. He knows my fears. And He says, fear not, for I am with you. I will take care of you. I will be your safety. I will be your security. It often reminds me of children. If you remember when they were little, at times that they would be afraid, whether it was something like a thunderstorm or something that they were fearful about. It's ironic what they would do. Remember what they would do? When they got afraid, they would run to mom or they would run to dad for that safety and security. And you remember how they felt when they got into your arms, or when you were that child and you got into mom and dad's arms, or you crawled into bed with them because you were afraid of the storm, but you felt safe and you felt secure. And the Father is simply calling us to crawl up into His arms. He says this, I know what's going on. I know what's taking place. I know what your life story is. He's saying it's time for my people who are called by my name to repent and to remember and to be the church like they've never, ever been before. not to, to wrap our Christian identity around being in a building, but to wrap our Christian identity around being the children of the Lord and serving Him day in and day out, looking after one another and realizing that if we hang who we are in Christ on meeting together in a building, then we've got some serious spiritual issues, because that's not what it's about. It's about living by the way and the word of a holy God. It is about trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. You know, today is so much different. Today is a day that in the what we used to call normal life of our church, that we would recognize those veterans that we knew who gave their lives, those whose lives have been touched. And every day of my life, I think about those who have given for my freedoms. And today is so much different. Today, it's a simple word of thanks. Today, it's being able to say, I appreciate what you have done for me and what you were willing to do for me. Today, tomorrow are going to be hard days for those whose loved ones are with the Lord right now because they gave their lives for your freedoms and for my freedoms and for the opportunities to be able to worship our Lord and Savior freely. It just reminds me so much of Israel. You know what? We're willing to stand up for our rights. We're willing to stand up and say, by the grace of God, go I. And yet, by the same token, we need to be wise. It's a good thing to be able to come together. It's a good thing to follow the word of God, where it says that we need to be submissive to our authorities, providing they don't begin to violate the rules of God or the Constitution of the United States of America. And that has been a proven point even over this past week as we gather. But that doesn't take wisdom out of the situation or wisdom out of the circumstance. So we think about those things as we begin to go forward. I love what the word said in Joshua, and he said in verse 7, he said this. He said, then you shall answer them, talking about the stones being carried and the structure that was being built on the other side, not only on the other side, but it was also done in the place in the middle of the river where the priest's feet stood as they held the Ark of the Covenant. Now, for just a moment, let's think about that, and let's think about what had to take place, the obedience that had to take place. Because when the instructions were given, it said that the priest would carry the Ark and it would go before them into the swollen rivers, the flooded rivers of water. And it said that when they got down there, it wasn't one of those situations that as they approached it, the waters began to recede. No. It says it didn't happen until the priest's feet hit the water. Could you imagine what that must have been like to have been one of the priests that was carrying the Ark of the Covenant at that particular point? You're like, okay, well, I guess we're just going to keep on plowing. We're not going to let an obstacle like the river get in the way. That was a pretty big obstacle. No, imagine being the front two on the front, and as they said, here we go, and they stepped into that water. The waters did not recede until they were willing to take the step. Folks, for us today who are waiting on God to do something incredibly huge, He has given us our marching orders, and it looks like there's obstacles in our way. You keep marching forward. I believe that if the priest would have stopped along the riverbank, the river never would have receded. God says, I told you to cross. And it wasn't until they stepped in, and it says that the waters began to back up and pile up. And it also says that the ground dried out immediately, that as they passed over, they did so on dry ground. God has your provision, but He's waiting for you to trust Him. Will you trust Him? And it says that they were to take rocks and to build this monument, as it were, in the middle where the priest stood with the ark as all of Israel crossed by. And then it also said to take some to the other side and to build it. And then verse 7 says, and you shall answer them. Now let's go to verse 6. It says that you do this and build this this memorial, that it may be a sign among you, that when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Folks, I want to ask you today, when your children and when your grandchildren look at your life, do they see you as a spiritual being? Do they see you as one who has trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? Do they see you as one who says, well, why is it that you live your life in the fashion that you do, that you might be able to give an answer to that question? When we sit back and think about why our children, maybe our grandchildren, look at you and say, why are you sitting outside on a hot day in the, I guess this is still spring, why are you sitting out on the lawn? Why didn't you just stay at home? Why didn't you just do these type things? That you might be able to answer, not because this is the thing to do, but you might answer, it's because it's a place where I can commune with God. It is a place where I can commune with my fellow believers. Although that has been challenged in the midst of social distancing, God has got a lot of things covered, and I believe with all my heart, He's looking to see how we're going to react to it, how we're going to trust Him, whether we will remember who He really is in the trying times, or whether we will turn our backs on Him. You know, it's always easy to say hallelujah and praise the Lord and amen when things are going good. It's when things get tough that people wonder, where is God? Let me promise you, God is right in the middle of your circumstances. We mentioned Peter not too long ago, the fact that when he was out there walking on the water, Jesus was right there. We mentioned the fact that on the road to Emmaus in our Wednesday night Bible study, that there were those that were with Jesus that had a sad countenance. And the problem with it was they were moving on with their life. They didn't believe Jesus had resurrected, and he was right there in the middle of their circumstance. He was right there with them, and they didn't even recognize him. Folks, today I'm calling on you to recognize the hand of God in your life and be grateful for what it is that He is doing. Let me ask you this morning where your walk with Him is. I've said so many times through this hiatus of us not being able to come together and meet in person that for a lot of people around this world, it's been a very trying time for them. And the reason why is because they have placed their spiritual identity on being able to come together in a building. A church has been about going to someplace, going to a building. It has been about having a process or something to do. And the Lord said, that's not what it's about. See, spirituality is about a personal relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, who died on Calvary's cross, who rose on the third day that you and I might have eternal life. I believe that God has put in the hearts and the minds of men to evaluate their spirituality, that your spiritual identity is in Christ, not within a building. Maybe some of us here today have been challenged about that. Maybe some of us here today have realized that what we've done is we have just continued to live a legacy of our parents or our grandparents, and we went to church because that was the thing.